The Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 165 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. Glad to have you along with me today. Got a ton of stuff to get to, some political, some not so much. Lots of stories about Hurricane Irma, the second major storm to hit the U.S. in the last couple of weeks. And we'll get to that. We've got some audio from Hillary Clinton talking about her new book, who she's blaming for losing the election, the new iPhone. iPhone 10 is out. Just a whole bunch of stuff. I think you're going to enjoy it. I really, really do. I want to thank the sponsors, by the way, particularly FountainOfLifeCairo.com. Dr. Alex Nelson is a young guy. He has a terrific chiropractic practice. It's at 8335 North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. And the number is 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. I wasn't a believer in chiropractic until a few years ago when I had sciatica. I had a pinched nerve in my lower back, and I couldn't get out of bed. Chiropractic was the only thing that fixed it. There was another time that I had pain in my chest and my shoulder, and I was like, what's going on? I went to a sports medicine doctor and said, oh, you need to have a nuclear stress test. Well, I decided to contact a chiropractor to see what was up. I was sleeping on a pillow that was too thick, and it was pinching, compressing the nerves in my neck. All right? Dr. Alex Nelson does massage therapy, decompression for herniated low back discs. They do a great job. And by the way, if you're a veteran or veteran's family member, $30 for an adjustment. FountainOfLifeCairo.com. Also want to thank our other sponsor, which is Grass Monsters KC. Grass Monsters KC, they make terrific, or they sell terrific American-made lawnmowers like Dixie Chopper, like the Z2. Look at that bad boy. Unbelievable. These are American-made. This one has up to a 54-inch deck. The one that I have in my garage is a Silver Eagle. There's the Silver Eagle. Look at that bad boy. That's a commercial mower, but, you know, if you've got a big lot, if you've got an acre or two, 60-inch deck, fastest mowers made, and they've got terrific warranties as well. American-made mowers. Also, they have Hustler mowers made in Kansas. GrassMonstersKC.com, 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow. GrassMonstersKC.com. Okay. Let's talk about the hurricane, Hurricane Irma this time. I'll start with some good stuff, okay? And there's the video that's gone viral. There was a woman named Pam Brecky trying to find a generator before the hurricane hit. Now, she was in line at Lowe's when the last generator was given to somebody else. And she broke down crying in the store. Here's the exchange, because this guy said, you know what? You take it.
My father's on oxygen, and I'm worried about this storm.
She need a generator? It's okay. Don't worry for that.
I'm very overwhelmed by that man. God will bless that man. I don't know him at all. He's a stranger. He's an angel from God is what he is.
Really, really cool. You know, we've seen some stories, people looting, things like that. Fortunately, those are few and far between. And we've seen just an enormous amount of good. You know, the country is divided, and we've seen how we can forget about politics for a while and help one another. It really is. And I don't mean to be all sappy and everything, but that's just the way it is. Really, really, really amazing. Some other stories that happened over the weekend with a storm. Kerry Sanders is an MSNBC reporter. He was on Marco Island, and he ended up saving two dolphins. Listen to this.
Good morning. We have a dolphin that's been washed ashore here. We're attempting to try to see if we can get it back out into the water. Clearly, it was washed in during the hurricane. It certainly has gone through a lot of trauma here. Let's see if we can get it out here. Okay. It's in deep water. Let's see if it'll actually swim. Okay, watch out. Let's see if it can do what it does best. It's exhausted. We're going to see. There we go. That's great. Just
right.
Swam away.
There you go. All right, so there you go. An MSNBC reporter saving dolphins. It was nice. Two manatees also got stuck Sunday when all the water in an inlet near Tampa Bay got sucked out by the storm. Do you see that? Unbelievable. They survived. Random people were able to roll them onto a tarp and take them to deeper water. Kind of cool. A couple in their 20s, Lauren Durham and Michael Davis, were supposed to get married this week. They're both first responders in the National Guard, so they decided to cancel the wedding, right? So they ended up getting married during the storm because apparently somebody there actually was a notary. And they were able to get married during the storm instead. So that was kind of fun. this is funny. And it's also, it's cool. Mark Hoppus from Blink 182 is working with other artists on an album called Dog Songs to raise money for dogs displaced by Hurricane Harvey. All right. All the songs are about famous dogs, like Dinky from National Lampoon's Vacation and Einstein from Back to the Future. Here's a little bit from Mark Hoppus, Blink 182, a song called Not Every Dog Goes to Heaven.
Got lost on the Dark Phoenix. Explain this, you son of a family on a quest. Left the body on Norman's front yard. We'll all be whistling to the biggest hole in the West. Biggest hole in the West. Not every dog goes to heaven.
Okay, so this song is about Dinky from National Lampoon's Vacation. That was a dog that was tied up behind the car. Yeah, and peed on the sandwich, and their aunt went ahead and ate it anyway. there's another one. This is singer-songwriter Dan Byrne did a song called Scooby. Sounds a little bit like Elvis Costello. Here it is.
I'm sure you got some work to do, but before that it's true, I just want to say I love you.
Okay, there you got your Scooby in there. Some other songs that they are dedicated to. Santa's Little Helper from The Simpsons. Jonah Ray donated a track dedicated to Chopper from Stand By Me. So there you go. A lot of musicians, a lot of people just helping out. All right. Oh, this is kind of funny. Fox News reporter got a little bit more than he expected from a guy who was walking on a boardwalk, apparently, in Florida, in Miami. So he decides to just ask this guy, you know, what are you here for? And all this guy ended up being, I call him the storm smarty. Listen to this guy.
What do you think about the storm, the risk to your own safety at this point?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
What do you think about the storm, the power, the ferocity, and the risk to your own safety at this point?
Well, at this point, I'm very relieved to discover that as we speak, the eye of the storm is practically due south of us by 220 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because it's crossing the 80th meridian, which is 80 degrees west longitude. So I'm not so worried because it's so far away. And it's barely.
Yeah, the question was that I just wanted to know why you're here.
Okay. As of 8 p.m. Westbound.
Okay.
Well, not
great.
Just westbound,
yeah.
It's 275 degrees.
Sure.
That's only 1/15th above due west.
Yeah.
Toward true north.
Do that.
This thing is moving and has been moving in a very westerly direction. And because it's several hundred miles south,
yeah,
the risks are less and less. I'm not worried. I don't think it's going to get much worse than what we're seeing right here.
And he was actually right. Despite that he said a whole lot more than the guy was expecting him to say. All right, let's move on to some other stuff here. Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened? Supposed to be released, I guess, today, which is Tuesday the 12th. All right. Two huge booksellers, Amazon and Walmart, have already cut the price by 40%. All right. $17.99. Publisher Simon & Schuster set the price at $30. $30. They're already discounting it. Now, the last book didn't do very well, her last book. And it doesn't look like this one is set to be a blockbuster. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I think this is just me. I think people are just kind of tired of her. I think people are kind of tired of Hillary Clinton, and just tired of hearing about the election and whose fault it was, because she says it's not her fault. Here are a list of excuses that she's used, and I'm just being honest here, regardless of politics. Here are the things that she say cost her the election: Russian interference. Jim Comey's criminal investigation of her use of private email. poor voter data from the Democrat National Committee, voter suppression and voter ID laws, sexism, racism, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders and his supporters, Jill Stein, the mainstream media, Electoral College, bad polling, people who assumed she would win, quote unquote, gullible Americans and fake news. So those are some of the things that she's blaming for her loss to Donald Trump. Here she is talking about and do what I'm calling Hillary blame. This is the Hillary blame storm. Listen.
I went from, I think, 26 points ahead to 13 points ahead. And I needed about 18 points in order to be sure I could win Pennsylvania. I watched how analysts who I have a great deal of respect for, like Nate Silver, burrowed into all the data and said, but for that Comey letter, she would have won. So it was very
ding
personal to me. I think my general election.
Comey decided not to investigate you.
Prospects were so badly damaged because of that, that even though I was starting to come back, it was not enough time to overcome it.
But the polling data had her way ahead, despite it all.
But even though that was the primary blow to my campaign at the very end, it has to be looked at in context with the Russians weaponizing information, negative stories about me.
Okay.
This whole WikiLeaks.
There's no evidence of that, actually.
Beginning to leak in early October of John Podesta's emails, which if you've read them all, they're pretty anodyne, but they were taken out of context. The stories were made up about them. We now know Facebook was taking money from Russian companies to run negative stories about me. If you look at all of this, yes, it affected me and my campaign. But I am more concerned now going forward.
Keep going.
That we haven't come to grips with what it means for future elections. I would also add that the voter suppression that we now know.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it. We've heard it. I just said it. Here's Greg Jarrett on Fox News talking about Hillary Clinton and her refusal to accept any responsibility for losing the election.
Right-wing conspiracy and Donald Trump happened. That didn't come up at all. She was a horrible candidate.
I keep a running tally. It's now up to 26 people and events and conditions she's blamed. Psychiatrists have a term 26. For what she does. Yeah, it's called projection. It's when you're utterly incapable of accepting personal responsibility, you blame others because you view yourself as a chronic victim, very much like Richard Nixon when he famously said in his second Watergate speech, I accept responsibility and not the blame. And like Nixon, all of the scandals that are synonymous with the name Hillary are self-created. Nobody forced her to set up her private email server. Nobody forced her to pocket $225,000 from Goldman Sachs. Nobody forced her to use her foundation like a personal piggy bank that smacks of influence peddling and self-dealing. She did it all on her own, but she's utterly incapable of the courage of honest self-reflection.
Honestly, and I did a podcast a while back, and I called it the madness of Queen Hillary. And I really think that she was, I don't know, damaged by losing to some degree. A lot of people call into question Donald Trump's mental health. I don't know. Here she is talking with Jane Pauley about how she felt after she lost the election.
I just felt this enormous letdown, this kind of...
Yeah, you know what? People lose all the time. Seriously.
Loss of feeling and direction and sadness. And, you know, Bill just kept saying, oh, you know, that was a terrific speech, trying to just kind of bolster me a little bit. Off I went into a frenzy of closet cleaning and long walks in the woods and playing with my dogs and yoga, alternate nostril breathing, which I highly recommend, trying to calm myself down. And
could have tried Xanax. Xanax works really well.
My share of Chardonnay. It was a very hard transition. I really struggled.
Okay, we got it. Here she says that she is done running for public office.
Is your political career over.
Yes. As an active politician, it's over.
You will never be a candidate for office.
I am done with being a candidate, but I am not done with politics because I literally believe that our country's future is at stake.
Okay. Sometimes politicians don't get it when it's time to hang it up. You know, I think the Clintons, they've had their day in the spotlight. I think people, I don't think people like dynasties, political dynasties. I mean, the Bush dynasty's over. There was a reason why Jeb Bush got knocked out so early, all right? Because people don't want dynasties anymore. Somebody who's been in office a very long time, Nancy Pelosi, was speaking in front of an LGBT group, I guess, the other day, and it was kind of bizarre. She's been doing some bizarre stuff lately. Here she is egging the crowd on, telling them when to applaud. It's a little piece for
our city is blessed with a large LGBTQ community
and
a strong history of legacy of advocacy for equal rights. And we were very proud of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and President Obama was so very much a part of that. Now, let's hear it for President Obama. That's an applause line.
Yeah, you need somebody with a card there. Need an audience fluffer.
I'll tell you when it's an applause line if we're not kind of in sync. And now we're fighting for something called the Equality Act, a historic comprehensive bill, and I will continue to do everything in our power to end discrimination in the workplace and in every other aspect of life that ensures that all American families are viewed equally in the eyes of the law.
Here we are.
That's an applause line.
There you go. That's an applause line. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention something, and I think this is actually a good idea. People who abandon their dogs in Florida, meaning those who left their dogs when the storm was heading, not only did they leave them tied up outside, some of them left them in cages on the ground outside. About 40 dogs were rescued, and now it looks like people who own these dogs could face felony animal cruelty charges. So that's a good thing. That is a good thing. They had a lot of dogs going across the United States because some people literally just couldn't take care of the dogs, had to give the dogs and the cats up. And I just can't even imagine that. Even though sometimes I complain, we have 3 dogs and they get to be a real pain in the rear end sometimes, but it would be agonizing to give them up. So, and a Pizza Hut manager in Jacksonville appeared to threaten his employees if they chose to evacuate for longer than 72 hours to escape Irma. There was a memo that went viral. It said employees must return within 70 hours of evacuating, and they could not evacuate for Friday for a Tuesday storm. All right, Pizza Hut is saying, "Nah, you know, we didn't approve this. If there's a storm coming, you cannot show up for your shift." Pizza Hut did something cool, though. In Texas, there was one Pizza Hut in the Houston area that delivered pizza via canoe, free for people. So that was pretty cool. And there's only one thing better than pizza, and that is free pizza. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, free pizza's glorious thing. People are already lining up for Apple's new iPhone. Hasn't been even announced yet. Consumers in Australia are already lining up for the new phone. The phone is expected to be Apple's biggest upgrade in a decade. Been the subject of many detailed leaks. Some people are saying it's going to be called the iPhone 10 because of 10 years of the iPhone. So it's going to, I guess the launch is today. The phone costs $1,000, okay? A phone costs $1,000. Let that sink into your head here, okay? And you know, the interesting thing also is, this isn't really a phone. This is a computer with a phone app. That's what this is. Oh, this is an iPhone 6S Plus. I mean, this is ancient technology, man. I got this like 2 years. This is old. Do I want an iPhone 10? Nah, I'm not that. I like my iPhone. Listen, I use it all the time. I even sometimes use it to make phone calls. So you millennials who are listening, you Gen Yers, you can actually hear a person's voice on there, and there's a number associated with their voice, and that number corresponds with their phone, and it's called a phone number. And you actually call that phone number, and if they get, they'll answer it, and you'll hear their voice. It's called a phone call. I just thought you should know. Some things you're going to see, LTE 4G-enabled Apple Watches coming out today, a new Apple TV set with 4K capability, and then three new iPhone models today. All right, $1,000. $1,000. Here's some other things you can see on the phone. I've got a little schematic here that I'm looking at. Nearly all screen design, so it's basically all screen, is what I said. Wireless charging, that would be good. God, I hate it when I lose the darn charger, you know? I don't know what it is. What is it? Do you have this problem in your home with the kids borrowing a charger, and then you, one day you have six chargers, the next you can't find one of them? Tap to wake, infrared sensor to allow for low light, facial recognition, 3D facial recognition sensor to unlock phone or make payments. That's kind of cool, right? Longer power button, smart camera, improved scene and object detection. It really is. You know, I've never... I was the last generation to not have a smartphone growing up, or a cell phone for that matter. Yeah, I know, right? Gen X. Never had a cell phone when I was a kid. Never had a cell phone. But I never have lost the wonder of technology. You know, right now I'm sitting in a studio. I'm recording audio and video. The studio that I built myself, all right? I have two computers, one that I'm looking at right now. And over here, I've got a high-def, well, another webcam. And I can broadcast on Facebook Live to as many Facebook pages as I want. I can broadcast. I can share it on YouTube. I can share it on TuneIn and Audio Boom and iTunes and iHeartRadio. I can. You, by the way, just go to any of those and say Rob Carson Show or type in Rob Carson Show. I have an Alexa, an Amazon Alexa, and if you say to Alexa, Alexa, play the Rob Carson Show podcast, it'll play the most recent Rob Carson Show podcast. It's ridiculous. I've never lost my sense of wonder when things like this happen. It really is. It's amazing. It is. It's just amazing. Okay. Let's move on to some other stuff. This is, I thought, was kind of nice. Bengals player Tyler Eifert talking about how he stands for the national anthem. He wrote an essay called Why I Stand. He doesn't question any of his teammates who choose to sit or kneel, but he stands because he honors his country. He says, I stand because I love my country. I stand because I want to honor the people putting their lives on the line for me on a daily basis in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard. He goes on to explain that his cousin, a pilot in the Air Force, risks his life each day for the safety of Americans. The tight end wrote that starting the season, he planned to honor a different service member each week by writing their name on his game day cleats. Last week, he chose Pat Tillman, Arizona Cardinals standout, who declined a multi-million-dollar contract to go fight, and he died. Died in 2004. And in the essay, by the way, that Tyler Eifert says, in 2002, he walked away for millions of dollars and a dream most people couldn't imagine achieving to do one thing, fight for his country. Pat wasn't fighting for himself. He wasn't fighting for one group versus another. He was fighting for Americans. That's good. I think that's good. Mike Ditka had something to say about players who decide you're gonna sit down during the national anthem, and basically, he said you have the right to do it. People are gonna do what they do. This is a different generation. Don't forget, now that's a minority. So for the majority of people who are going to understand what 9/11 meant, what this country stands for, the values that we have, and they're gonna go in that direction. Now he was commenting because several players. Monday Night Football on September the 11th decided to sit down. And I'm troubled by that. I'm troubled by that in particular. Here's what I have to say about it, guys. You don't have the right to free speech at work. You just don't. You know, and I've said this in previous podcasts, you don't have the right to free speech at work. And if the NFL wanted to end this, and it's hurting them financially. It's hurting their ratings and everything. All they have to do is say, you stand during the national anthem. That's all they got to do. There are a million things that you can't wear certain things on your uniform. You can't just put a sticker. I remember in Dallas last year, there were some Some of the cowboys wanted to honor the six police officers who were murdered down there. They could not put stickers on their helmets. So you don't have the right to free speech at work. You just don't. I could say anything I want because I'm self-employed. Thank you very much. And I'm over the web. So I can. The only thing I risk is losing viewers and listeners. So ESPN sideline reporter, 29 years old, had a meltdown. I feel bad for this guy. His name's Sergio Dip. I think mostly partially because his name's Dip. He was he's the newest member of the Monday Night Football team, sideline team, and he's 29 years old. He's a young guy, and he is you could tell he's nervous, and you could tell he's also very green.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life.
Okay. It's just really green. I mean, the guy is just really green. He sounds like, you know, a college student in broadcasting. So, you know, I'm willing to give him a break on this one. But it was really, really, really difficult to watch. Really difficult to watch. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Settlement has been reached in a case which sought to determine copyright ownership of selfie photos taken by a monkey. Okay, wow. Apparently this monkey took a selfie, and there was a lawsuit against a photographer and a San Francisco-based publishing firm. The suit against David Slater and Blurb, which published a book called Wildlife Personalities, featured the monkey selfies, claimed copyright infringement, and sought to use proceeds from the photos to benefit the crested macaque named Maruto. Now, macaque is the monkey, all right? It's a little confusing, but here's the story.
His name is Naruto.
This is from CBS San Francisco.
And he's shot to stardom after taking these selfies on a wildlife photographer's camera. But his lasting impression will be made in federal court, where those attorneys are arguing over who owned the copyright to those photos, man or monkey.
There's never been a case where an animal or a non-human has been given the rights of a copyright holder. So that's why PETA is pursuing it, to extend the rights of animals just a little bit further.
Now, just realize that the animals have no sense of ownership. They although my dogs do fight over bones, so they will, like, you know, if we get a chew toy, they'll claim ownership to some degree. You know, it's mine, get away, growl, whatever, all this stuff. But they really don't have the ability to own. You see what I'm saying?
If PETA wins its appeal, Naruto will be the trailblazer. Although judges are still uncertain why an American-based organization is filing on behalf of an Indonesian monkey's business.
An Indonesian monkey's business. That's the line.
Is there allegation in the complaint that PETA is a qualified next friend of the monkey Naruto so that PETA can represent Naruto?
PETA argues the macaque monkey should own the copyright for his selfies, saying he's a cognizant creature that can feel and be creative.
But does he own the camera? Did he buy the camera?
Who intended to push the camera button?
We think that fundamentally the law of copyright should apply to Naruto equally. He undeniably took these photographs.
Yes.
And the copyright law is clear. He who takes the photographs owns them.
Uh-huh. But does that he apply to apes, especially when an artist set it up?
That could open up a lot of interesting avenues as to where the law could lead. That's right. I think where the certainly on the defendant side, they
occasionally give elephants big paintbrushes, and they put canvas out there, and they sell the canvas, the painting that the elephants do for charity. They've done this, I think, with horses and as well. So should the elephant open his own art gallery then?
I'm saying this should be limited.
If the primate gets the copyright, yes. PETA says it will administer the proceeds from selling the image, all of which would fund preservation of the endangered monkey species. But the other side argues an animal-owned copyright creates its own threat legally.
Monkey see, monkey sue will not do in federal court.
A judge initially sided with that argument, but PETA appealed it, making their rebuttal in court this morning. So whether private, public, or...
Well, it's been settled out of court. Sometimes you just need to know where this stuff comes from, right? Sometimes you just got to scratch your head and go, what? What? South Park is taking on white nationalists in its first episode of season 21. Yeah, it's been around for season 21. Here is a little promo where there are two groups of people, I guess, in a courtroom or meeting room. One of the people has a Confederate flag, but he's not waving it for the reason you think.
With these guys waving a Confederate flag every chance they get. Your Honor, please. We're trying to help people, and it's impossible with these guys waving a Confederate flag every chance they get.
Hey, there's a bee in here. I'll get it.
Yeah. South Park is back. New episode drops Wednesday at 10.
So he was swatting at the bee with a flag. Can't believe that show's been around for 20 seasons. Still pretty darn funny. Still pretty darn funny. Happiest state in the union. Which one do you suppose it is? I lived in this state for 5 years, and I'll tell you, during the winter, wasn't very happy. It's Minnesota, by the way. That's according to a new ranking from Wallet Hub. The runners-up were Utah, Hawaii, California, Nebraska, New Jersey, the unhappiest. You know it's going to be West Virginia, followed by Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi. Wow. All south of the Mason-Dixon line. New York sidled in at number 22. Lowest share of adult depression was in Hawaii. Yeah, I can see that. Followed by New Jersey, California, Illinois, and a tie between New York and Virginia. Oregon had the highest share of depressed people, with Maine, Arkansas, West Virginia, and Vermont trailing. Meanwhile, suicide rates were lowest in New York, New Jersey, Maryland, where I used to live, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Highest in Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, New Mexico, and Utah. Folks in Utah worked the fewest hours. I find that hard to believe. Alaskans worked the most. North Dakota had both the longest low-term unemployment rate and the highest income growth. I think we can blame fracking for that, right? Nevada took home the prize for the highest long-term unemployment rate, and Nevada had the lowest income growth. Safest states to live: Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and New Hampshire. Least safe: Mississippi. Big surprise, right? Louisiana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Missouri is right next to where I live. There's a 50 times difference between the two extremes. Dairy Queen owner is defending a sign on his restaurant for his support of God and country. It's in a town called Kewaskum in Wisconsin. And put the sign up. It said, this restaurant is politically incorrect. We have been known to say Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, God bless America. We salute the and honor the flag. Give thanks to our troops, police officers, and firefighters. Give thanks to the U.S. By giving free Sundays on Veterans Day to veterans. In God we trust, the whole deal. All right, so some people were apparently mad about this, even though it's their business. Sign has been up there for years, I guess, but apparently Ashley Coleman was offended by it. She's an Oregon resident. And she doesn't even live in the state. Posted a picture of the sign to Dairy Queen's Facebook page, claiming it was extremely offensive. Of course, she's from Oregon. Another, Steve Thomas from Milwaukee, said, I feel this is a pretty tasteless thing to have posted on your franchises. The part of the sign that I disagree with is his use of the political term snowflake. He is literally alienating half the population by using that term. On my T-shirt page, I sell these T-shirts, T-Public, conservatives. We have one that says, my kid is not a snowflake, because there's a snowflake generation. I don't know how you could be. Who's offended by saying that? I mean, really? There it is. You're watching it on. I'm doing a video and audio podcast. So forgive me, audio listeners. I was just holding that up to the camera. The other thing, I don't like him belittling safe spaces. Young adults need a safe space to talk when they are at a dark place in their lives but won't go because of how much criticism they may receive because of it. That's why I disagree with this sign. That's why they call them snowflakes. Owner Ken Shuneman defended the Christian sign, saying he felt it was appropriate to hang in terms of being transparent about the views of the owner and staff supporting God and country. He added, it just seems that those kinds of values and principles are becoming controversial in society, clearly. Other business owners in town, they supported it. April Swerwy says he posted it on the door so you could see it before you walk in. You don't have to walk in if you don't agree with it. He also won praise from many people on social media who argued that if you don't like it, don't eat there. Melissa Rose said the sign on the door is perfect. It's about time someone stands for non-whiny Americans. There you go. Oh, man. I've got some other stories that are just, listen to this. Woman being booked into an Illinois jail. Had a loaded handgun hidden in her hoo-ha. According to corrections officers who found the weapon during a strip search of the suspect, Amika Witt, 20, and a male acquaintance were arrested Thursday morning after their car was stopped for speeding on I-55 just north of Bloomington. A police search of the vehicle and its occupants turned up heroin and ecstasy. During the search, a female jailer, oh boy, this has got to be the worst job in the world, recovered, are you ready for this? Recovered a loaded Kimber 380. Caliber handgun from the suspect's hoo-ha, had a fully loaded clip and a bullet in the chamber. You know where I'm going to go with this. The handgun weighs 13.4 ounces with an empty magazine and is 5.6 inches long. In case you were wondering. In addition to narcotics possession charges, Witt, who lives in Missouri, is also hit with felony weapons count. She's locked up in lieu of a $40,000 bond. Yeah. Boy, I'm a boy. That is just, Yeah. And, oh, this is kind of good. You let your dog sleep with you in the same bed? I don't, because the dogs are parsed out at night to my kid. My daughter gets one. Her name is, we got Lucy, we got Desi. Desi sleeps with my daughter. Lucy sleeps in my son's room. And when I sleep in the guest bedroom, my wife sleeps with Zoe. And yes, we have dogs in their names, Louie, Lucy and Desi. Not by design. Okay, it just happened that we didn't name the dogs. We just ended up with them. So don't give me that look if you're looking at the, you know, whatever. Looks like a study observed 40 healthy adults without sleeping disorders occupying the same bedroom as their dogs. And a study showed that when people let dogs sleep with them, they had an easier time snoozing than those who did not. Lois Cron did the study. She says, most people assume having pets in the bedroom is a disruption. We found that many people actually find comfort and a sense of security from sleeping with their pets. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one little bit. I don't doubt that at all. And finally, oh, just one more story. Apparently, a company called Balenciaga just released a new pair of running shoes. $800 for these shoes. They've been put up on the internet. And apparently, the internet has gone insane. Why? Because they're really ugly. $800, first of all, that's ugly. $800 for running shoes? Ridiculous, right? Somebody said on Twitter, they look kind of like a 7-layer dip turned into a shoe. Another person said they look like shoes in the lost and found at school. $800 for these shoes. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Rob Carson Show podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I greatly appreciate it. If you get the chance to download, iTunes is a great way to do it. Just look up Rob Carson Show, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Google Plus, Google Play, and YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. Again, just look for Rob Carson Show. You'll find it. I want to thank our sponsors, Dr. Alex Nelson, chiropractor, foundoflifechiro.com, foundoflifechiro.com. If you're in Kansas City, you ought to go see him. I've got a neck issue. I'm going to go see him this week. I'm going to actually put the video on Facebook Live. So foundoflifechiro.com, Congress Avenue in Kansas City, grassmonsterskc.com also. American-made mowers, hustlers made in Kansas, Dixie choppers made in Indiana. They will last you a lifetime. They are built like a brick excrement house, is what I like to say. In the meantime, guys, thanks for your support. One other thing, if you can, I have got a podcast on a website called Patreon, patreon.com. It's where artists go to to essentially kind of crowdfund, really kind of subscribe to a show and allow people to help pay the bills. And believe me, we could use it. My family and I could use it. PATREON.com. Look for Rob Carson Show. And if you can give me $1 a month or $5 a month or $10 a month, whatever, it would be greatly appreciated. In the meantime, God bless. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.